I got to cut my sermon 5 minutes short. Have your Bibles with you. I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We all know what that's supposed to call the faith chapter of the Bible. It's the faith chapter. And our fast, our theme for this year, this month, is going to be great faith. Now, Jesus teaches us about faith. He teaches us about two kinds of faith. He teaches us about little faith, and he teaches us about great faith. Now, he doesn't teach us about no faith, because there's no such thing as no faith. Somebody help me now. I mean, no such thing as no faith, because the Bible says every man is what? Given a measure. Everybody's given a measure. So there's no such thing as no faith. But there is little faith. Remember, Peter was walking out on the water, and he got to Jesus. He had enough of faith to get out of the boat. He's walking out on the water. And when he gets to Jesus, he begins to notice the things around him. And all of a sudden, he begins to sink, and he cried out to you, Lord, save me. And what did Jesus say? Oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. Say little faith. Said, oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? See, I like to kind of like in my own mind put it this way. Faith will get you out of the boat, but great faith will get you back in the boat. You got to have enough faith to get back. You can get out, but you got to get back. So he teaches us about little faith, and he teaches us about great faith. And in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it says, now faith. Say now faith with me. See, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. The elders obtained a good testimony, a good report. I want to kind of mention to you this one. We won't talk about faith for just a very few minutes, but I want you to get to that place that when we walk out of here this morning, you're going to be able to operate in great faith, at least have an understanding of how to operate in it. See, when you're operating in faith, a lot of people don't like to operate in faith because you don't know where you're putting your foot next. See, you know, everybody prays for faith. We call ourselves a people of faith. Everybody that carries the Bible is a person of faith. But that's not necessarily true. When we talk about people of faith, we're talking about people that are willing to get out on the edge and live in a place that they've never lived, go to a place they've never been. I can remember when I first went into ministry after I left the Methodist Church, and I was in the independent ministry. And as I began to plant independent churches, I never went to a place I'd ever been to plant a church. I never knew anyone when I came to Tallahassee, for an example. I didn't know anyone in Tallahassee. As a matter of fact, I didn't know I had a cousin over here until I met her in Penny. She was working for Penny's at that time. And I come walking in and invited her to church, couldn't find out she was my cousin. But anyway, I never went to a place that I knew anybody. That's faith. And then I look around this building here, and I see people that have connected with me over the past almost 20 years. And they would tell you when we started, it was just like a little group getting together in a living room. And then we found a building and moved into that building, and God began to bless it. But it was all by faith. We operated on faith. We had no promises. We had no assurance. We had nothing we could take from someone else. We just had to take what God was going to give us. I'll never forget. This is one of my most powerful testimonies of great faith. And that was at the end of a year. I had always said, see, I always thought I was just a great preacher, especially when I was younger. I just tell you, I could preach the hell out of the devil if he had listened to me, you know. But I thought I could really. I said, Lord, if you'll just give me a good building to preach in, I will fill that thing up in a year, and we'll show this town how great of a God you really are. Well, We got a great building right on campus, and we were, you know, having services four times a week, and we were really going. And at the end of 1 year, I think we had 28 or 30 people. Yes. And far from being full. Yes. And I said, Lord, if you had just only filled this building up, just think what a testimony it would be. He said, you missed the miracle. You're sitting here with less than 30 people. All the bills are paid. And you got Chuck Pierce coming next week. And I stopped and I thought, that's faith. That's what we're doing. When we can't see it, then we have to operate on something we don't even know what it is. That's when God begins to use us in faith. We are people of faith. Look at someone say, you're a person of faith. You're a man of faith. You're a woman of faith. See, great faith. I don't know what it was like last year for you. I don't know what it was like last month, last week, or even yesterday. But now, it's faith. We got to move into an area of our life that we're willing to operate in faith. I may not be able to see it, but I know who is in control. I may not be able to know where I'm going tomorrow, but I know who's going to guide me. I may not know how I'm going to get there, but I know who's guiding me. I know that I can trust the one who is in control of my life. That's walking by faith. That's just believing God for faith. And I believe that this year, Go-To Church is going to operate in great faith. Not just in little faith, not just in faith, but in great faith. I'm expecting, and when we begin to pray, starting tomorrow, I've got my fast set up. I know what I'm going to be praying on each day. I know that God's going to prepare a way for me to spend the time with Him this week. And I'm praying for great faith, not just for myself, but for this church, for everyone in this church. I want you to be able to operate in great faith. I want you to be able to speak to those things that are not as though they were and believe they really are. I'm expecting God to move in our lives and cause us to be more than conquerors in everything that we do. I know that God has created in each and every one of us a great individual, and we've got to walk by faith in order to get there. I don't know what's going to happen this year, but one thing I do know, God's still in control. I know that He is going to take care of us, and He's going to minister to us. So we're going to operate in great faith, in great faith. See, God is continually on the move. Have you ever noticed that? God is continually. Don't put God in a box, because when you go back after the box, He's not there. Are you? God is continually on the move. One of the principles I teach in Bible interpretation is the law of first mention. Now, what that means is that the first time something is mentioned in Scripture, you can use it and see how it's used there. You can follow that thought throughout the rest of Scripture, and it's going to be used basically the same way. It's called the order of first, the law of first mention. So in order to properly interpret something, you have to follow it back to its origin. You have to look at where it started from. It has that characteristic every time. For an example, in Genesis, God covered Adam with skins to atone for his sin. See, it gives us a picture that for his sins to be atoned for, something must die. And in order for there to be a sacrifice, something has to die. And without a sacrifice, there's no atonement with sin. So without death, there's no sacrifice. So that picture plays its way out all the way through to Jesus Christ, how that God made us righteous by the blood of Jesus. How many of you know you didn't make yourself righteous? I know, and we need to study, show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study the word, but you can't study yourself into righteousness. You and listen, you can't make yourself righteous. There's no way that you can. I don't care how hard you try, you cannot do that. God is the only person that can make you righteous. And He's already made you righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. See, we spend so much time on those things past that happened in our lives, good or bad, that we don't allow God to use us for what he called us to do. It's time you and I recognize all the things that we worry about and we keep praying about, it's under the blood of Jesus Christ. And we've been made righteous by his blood. His blood has cleansed us and atoned for all of our sins. He made us righteous. We did not make ourselves righteous. He made us righteous. The Bible said in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Now, if you read this from the Hebrew, it says it this way: God in the beginning. God in the beginning. They read it backwards naturally. So, because if there had been a beginning before there was God, then God wouldn't be who he is. See, any time that you're reading in old literature, if you go back to the old rabbinical writers and whatever, you will find that they never put anything in front of God. Like, for an example, we use the term Bethel, Bet-El. Bet meaning house, El meaning God, house of God. But actually, from the Hebrew, it's El Bet, God's house. Nothing comes before God. Or if something comes before God, then he was not there.
Okay.
In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. Everything that you see, God created it. He's the father of all things. He's a great and mighty God. He's bigger than everything. There's nothing bigger than God. God is the greatest thing that you could ever imagine. You know, we talk about faith. If you could ever get in your spirit that God is all you'll ever need. Okay, listen to me. You got to get to where I am with this because I can't stay long. God is all you will ever need. If you have God, you'll have every situation in your life resolved. If you have God, you'll have every problem solved. If you have God, every financial situation will be taken care of. If you must have God. And if you don't have God, you won't have the greatest gift of all. That's eternal life. You must have him. It is. He's the greatest thing of all. I love it. God is so big. God's bigger than your life. God's bigger than my life. God's bigger than this church. He's bigger than a denomination. God's bigger than the world. The Bible tells us that he measured out the seas and he put them in the palm of his hand and just held them and looked at them and said, look what I've created. He's just that big. He's God Almighty. Yes. Nothing will ever compare with how wonderful and how great God is. You're talking about great faith. You can never have great faith until you understand the God that you have faith in. Yes. He is so great that nothing is bigger than him. You don't have a problem. You don't have a situation. You don't even have a circumstance in your life that God's not bigger than that thing is. Oh, my goodness. It makes me just want to tell the devil to go sit down and have a Coca-Cola somewhere. I'm telling you, we got to recognize the fact that God is bigger than all of our problems. He's bigger than all of our fears. He's so big that he's taking care of everything, even before we come along. He already had it. He's God Almighty. He is so great. I have great faith. Listen, I look over my life, and there was no reason in the world that I should be where I am. I mean, I come up in a bar room. I come up, my dad owned a bar. I come up in a bar room. We didn't go to church. You know, I didn't have that opportunity. And then when I was older, I can assure you, I wasn't hunting a church to go to. If I was, there was a pretty girl there. Amen. Somebody say amen, because I guarantee you I'm not the only one in this room. And I promise you that. But I begin to see where God brought me from. I begin to see, and then I went through a period of time that I looked where God brought me from. I wanted to see, and God just began to teach me by where he brought me from. And then I begin to move into an area of my life that I want to see where God's taking me to. Amen. Oh, listen, amen. Where I've been is nothing compared to where God's taking me. Amen. Listen, nowhere near where God has taken me to. Listen, if I left this world today, what God's taking me to is greater than anything I've ever seen in my life. You know, when we recognize that great faith, I have great faith because I know that when I look at where I've been and I begin to think about where I'm going, we have a great God. God has created all things and he gave them to you and I. He's God Almighty. We don't have a problem. We don't have a situation. We got to have great faith. We won't make it through it if we don't have great faith. Listen, over the past few months, my family's in Panama City. Panama City went through a terrible ordeal with Hurricane Michael. And I've been over there time and time again, meeting with people and praying with people and just being a part of the community. And over and over and over, we would go over there. And when I look at the disaster, and when you think about two-thirds of the homes in Bay County are destroyed, two-thirds, 68% of the homes are gone, just gone. People are leaving. I've got family that's having to leave Bay County. Listen, it would take great faith to stay there. Oh, come on. Listen, we don't understand great faith. We don't understand what real problems are. We're living in such a world that, and most of us haven't been through disastrous things like that. But when they do hit us, we got to have great faith. We got to be able to look at that thing and say, no matter how bad it looks to the whole world, no matter what's going on, God is going to take me through this. I don't have to depend on people. Because I know that God is going to take me through it. He's God Almighty. And there's no way that he's going to fail me. Now listen, in the beginning, God. If there had been anything before God, then he would not have been the beginning. And God is the beginning of all things. He was when everything else happened. Oh, listen, when I begin to think about the greatness of God, it makes me have faith. Jim was talking earlier about knowing the Word of God. Once you know God and you begin to study the Word of God, then you'll see how that God opens up the Word through His Word, and then what you read becomes a reality to you. Oh, listen, He's God. He created all that there was, and if He had not been here, there would not have been a beginning. Acts 21, the Hebrew writer wrote, said, the former account, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both to do and to teach. He began all things, and through him all things exist. Wow. And through him all things. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's the beginning of all things. He was here before there was a beginning. First there was God, then there was a beginning. Listen, I'm asking you this morning to have great faith. I'm not asking you to have great faith in me. I'm not asking you to have great faith in what I teach you. I'm asking you to have great faith in the God that created everything that you see. It's not about me. It doesn't matter what I say or what I think or what I do. What really matters is your relationship with God Almighty. You've got to trust the God that is bigger than life itself. God does not live in time. He doesn't live in space. God does not live in the atmosphere that we live in. God's eternal. God is eternal. He's everywhere. He was here before there was the beginning. First there was God, then there was a beginning. God is bigger than life itself. Listen to me, church. God's bigger than life because God created life. God's bigger. He's so much bigger than anything we can possibly imagine. So where does God exist? God does not just exist. God is existence. God doesn't just exist. He's existence. The Bible says, for in him everything dwells and lives. In him. Everything dwells and lives in him. So it's by the word and the power of his word that everything is held into place. It's by what God said. You know, I'm sure most of you have heard, and I'm not going to preach it, but Paul said in Colossians 1:15 through 17, said, not only does God exist in everything, he exists beyond everything. There was a great message come out several years back about laminin and how it was a cell in your body that holds everything together. And it was in the shape of a cross. You could see it. I'm sure most of you have heard the sermon and seen these things. But it's a cell in your body, and it holds everything together. And it's shaped like a cross. Listen, we know how great God is. And in his greatness, he created a timber. And on that timber, he hung his son. And his son died, and he gave himself that you and I would have eternal. And that's what holds you and I together. Listen, on the outside, I may look like sometime I'm falling apart, but I've got a cross on the inside of me that's holding everything together. Listen, I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care how ugly it is. I don't care where I got to go or what I have to do. I can assure you when it's all over, God's going to hold me together.
Yes.
God is going to make sure that I'm still together when this thing's all over with. And you know why? Because that's a promise that he made to me. He did not go to that cross in vain. He did not die for nothing. He did not take those stripes just to be beat. He took them that you and I would be healed. Listen, by his stripes you were healed. The power of God has never changed as his word has never changed. You and I need to recognize the fact that we are what we are, and things exist as they exist because of God, not because of man, not because of anything else. It's because of God. And even though that we may suffer through some things, and we talk about those storms and those things in life that we have to go through, even though those things exist, let me assure you, God is still holding everything together. God is still making sure that when it's all over with, it's still going to be just what he said that it would be. It's by the word of God and the power of his word. Listen, he's everywhere present. He's beyond everything. He is so powerful and so great that he's beyond anything that you can possibly imagine. David said, I went into the heavens and I found him there. I went to the depths of the sea and I found him there. I went into the grave and I found him there. I went into the temple and I found him there. I went into my chamber and I found him there. Everywhere I went, I found him. God is everywhere. Oh man, listen, I'm telling you, I have great faith because there's nowhere I can go that my God is not there. There's nothing I can get into that my God is not in there with me. God is great and God is big, and he's just big enough to be what he said he was. His word is forever true, and the power of his word will never change. It's God, and he is bigger than anything that could come against us. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've been through, but I assure you, God's been there with you. How many of you remember the three Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? We remember they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And guess what, guys? King runs over there, open the fire, and they look, and he said, didn't we throw three men? Didn't we throw three men? But I see a fourth man. And the fourth man is like the Son of God. Listen. When they opened that furnace, when they heated up, they opened up, throw those guys in. It was so hot, so heated up that it killed the people that were going to throw them in. And there's Jesus said, come on down, boys. We're about to have a party. Just come on. See, he was there waiting. I don't know. I hope you're not going in the furnace today. But I don't know where you are going. But let me tell you, whatever you have to go through, God is already there waiting on you. God is everywhere present. He's already in your problems. He's already in your situation. And he's just waiting for you to get there that he can lift you out of it. Have you ever thought that God exists beyond everything we know that exists because he's bigger than all of it? God's bigger than all of it. I remember one time we had a little exercise. It's been a few years back. I'm almost as old as Jim, but he's still quite a bit older than me. Like about 5 years. But anyway, we had this little exercise. And said, I want you to write down the most difficult thing that you're going through. And I thought, well, you know, back then I'm in my 20s. The things I was going through is not what I'm going through now, or even in my 30s or in my 40s, 50s, 60s. I mean, things change. But at that time, they were important to me. And the instructor said, write down the most difficult thing that you're going through. So I wrote down whatever it was. It really don't matter what it was. But I wrote it down. He said, okay, swap with someone else. So we're all up there swapping. And I remember the guy that handed me his little piece of paper. I looked at that and I thought, not me. So I'm swapping with somebody else. I didn't want his problem. He had more problems than I had. You know. So we're swapping papers around there. And everybody's doing the same thing. So we kind of got funny to us all, you know. And that's, he stopped us. And Doc said, Dr. Merchant says, hey, that's where I want you to be. You are right where you need to be. You can laugh at your situation. You can laugh at your circumstance because God's bigger than it is. And you're the creation of God. Listen, we got to get to that place that great faith, only great faith will take us. And that is regardless of what we're going through. God's bigger than that is. We don't have to worry about it. God's bigger than that is. God is God. And he always will be God. Stand up with me. Great faith. Great faith. Listen, in closing, let me tell you what great faith will do for you. Let me just share this with you, what great faith will do for you. How many of you remember when Moses on the backside of the desert, he was there for 40 years working for his father-in-law, and God sent him back there to train him. Had 40 years of training. How many of you in here are going to have 40 years of training before you get to do what you're studying to do in school? I hope not. Because you'll start to work one day and draw Social Security the next. But he says, you're going to go to the backside of the desert and you're going to train there for 40 years. At the end of that 40 years, I got a job I want you to do. And so there come a time that Moses in this desert sees a bush on fire. And what was so amazing to him, to see the bush on fire didn't bother him because he had seen a lot of bushes on fire. What amazed him was it didn't burn up. It didn't burn out. It continued to burn. Watch this. Things hasn't changed. There's a lot of people talk about being faith people, talk about being Christians. There's a lot of people that catch on fire for the Lord.
Yes.
But that's really not going to draw attention. What's going to change the world and draw attention to the world is those people that don't burn out. Come on. I've seen a lot of folks be on fire for the Lord today and on fire for the devil tomorrow. That's just the way it is. But I'm telling you, when you get on fire for God and you let the enemy know right off the bat, I'm not burning out. I'm going to be here. When this whole thing, when it is over with, I'm going to still be burning. I'm not going to be one of those that are here today and gone tomorrow. The only way I'm going to be gone is if God moves me somewhere or takes me out of here. God's always on the move. God's going to move when you don't think he's going to move. And when you think that you got it, you remember what he told the people of Israel? He says, build me a tabernacle, but this is the way I want you to build it. I want you to make it movable. I don't want you to make it in a permanent place because I'm a mobile God and I'm not going to be in one place. I'm going to be everywhere. What he was doing was setting the people up that when Jesus come along and Paul and all the others could begin to teach, you are the temple of God. God's mobile because he lives in us. And he was preparing the way for that. Listen, church, great faith takes a knowledge of God that says he's going to take care of everything in your life, regardless of what it is. We'll begin our fast tomorrow. And as you begin your fast, I'm telling you, I'm going to be praying. This is not like, you know, praying for a miracle in your life. Listen to me. This is not like praying for a miracle in your life. Nobody wants I mean, everybody wants to see a miracle, but no one wants to be in a position to have a miracle. So we're not like praying for. What we're praying for is great faith. That's what I'm praying for, great faith. I want God to give me great faith. Let me tell you, if you have great faith, you will not fear. If you have great faith, you will not fail. If you have great faith, you will not be overcome. If you have great faith, God will always be with you. If you have great faith, you'll never face anything that God hadn't already taken you through. And instead of looking to it, you'll look back on it. And God will always be there for you. I'm praying for great faith. And by the end of this year, I believe that Go-To Church is going to be operating on great faith. On great faith. On great faith. I'm going to begin to pray the first of this year that great faith overcome every one of us. And when we begin to get in a little situation, a little problem, or something comes to us, the first thing out of our mouth is, I'm going to operate in great faith. The devil's a lie, and God is the only truth in my life. And I'm going to operate in great faith. We're going to operate. Listen, church, God has anointed you to have faith. You have great faith in your life. Our praying is going to be about faith, having faith. You have the faith to overcome it. God will see you through it. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust the preacher. Don't trust the teacher. Don't trust anybody but God Himself. It's what God says in your life is the final thing. It's God Almighty, and He's bigger than your problem. And you need to pray for great faith. God, you've got so many good things for me this year. Just give me the faith to receive them. Give me the faith to be able to operate in them. Give me the faith to know that you've got it all under control. Listen, I want you to pray beginning tomorrow, today for great faith. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask our prayer partners, Debbie, Mike, all you guys, if you'd like to come up here. If you want someone to agree with you, on great faith, I want you to come and just take the hands of somebody up here. Thank you, Gene. I want you to come. I want you to come and let someone agree with you that you're going to operate in great faith. How many of you know the enemy is going to attack you some way this year? He's either going to attack your profession, your job. He's going to attack your family. He's going to attack your health. He's going to attack. But if you'll just operate in great faith. And great faith. I love that story of those three Hebrew guys. You know, when they come out, the Bible said they didn't even smell like smoke. They didn't even smell like smoke. They didn't have a problem because they didn't even smell like they'd been through anything. Oh, come on, church. You've got to pray for great faith. Come. Don't hold back. Just come whenever you're ready and just go and just agree with someone. Just say, I want you to agree with me that I'm going to operate in great faith. I don't know what the year holds for me. I don't know what I hold for the year. But I do know this. I'm going to operate in great faith. Come whenever you're ready.